Hello, I'm Paddy O'Donnell, and this is The Crimologist from Farrow and Ball, the podcast where paint and colour meet life. Colour has always woven its magic through my life, and especially through my diverse choice of careers, from chef to florist, specialist painter, to now as a colour expert for Farrow and Ball, the people who have changed our ideas about the power of beautiful colour and light.
The world is colourful. I always see life in colour.
And that's what The Crimologist is, a word we coined to explain the way colour and design translate over time.
This is really lovely because that's kind of got that really sweet pale blue.
Yes.
That's kind of a pertinent colour for you
exactly.
Anyway. So it kind of nods back to your own story from your childhood.
So that's why we've created this series, to explore how colour works in a room, but also how it works in our lives and in our hearts.
The names are quite funny, aren't they?
They are quite funny.
What's the funniest name, do you think? Dead Salmon's quite funny.
Paddy, dare I ask how you would decorate this hallway?
Can I put my thinking hat on? Because I don't want to suddenly pull a colour out of the hat just because I'm on the spot.
It's so easy to say, I just love yellow. Why?
And so in this first series, I'm immersing myself in the lives and homes of designers, artists, creators and performers. And with my trusty colour chart as my guide, asking them to choose four pivotal colours that have shaped them through time.
We took the wall down and created what we call the love room.
Yeah. Do we go into details there?
I've never done my life story through colour, and everyone should do this.
So today I'm wildly excited to introduce our guest, the one and only Mr. Tan France. Ta-da! Fashion guru and megastar of the reality TV series Queer Eye. He is a fabulous advocate for positive change in the fashion industry and beyond, and a huge lover of colour. That's why he's here, folks. And eyebrows. Tam and his husband Rob's beautiful new family home in Salt Lake City, Utah, has recently dropped on AD. Mr. Tan France, welcome.
Hello.
You're in your bedroom and I'm in my bedroom. So hello, darling.
I have let now apparently way too many people into my bedroom virtually. It's too much.
Well, I haven't seen all of your house. I've seen snippets of it and I know what you've used. So I've seen your guest accommodation. I watched that film and I was in huge envy.
Yeah.
Lucky, lucky guest. Listeners at home, he's wearing a white t-shirt, so it's dressed down Friday today.
I'm in my home. I do typically wear a simple tee. I have two children. I have a toddler and a newborn. Excuse me whilst I make a noise. And so it's been a day. They've been here making a mess. And believe me, running around after those kids, I'm not in anything fancy. It's just not going to happen.
Oh, winning it.
And in my bedroom, you will see we have the most magical view from the room. And then we also have a balcony where my husband and I have our breakfast.
Were those snow-capped mountains?
Yeah, they are snow-capped mountains. It snows every winter. Life changed a lot. I am no longer a Brit. I am now a passport-carrying American. I've lived here for a long time. And I desperately wanted to build a home over the last few years. We have been working on building a home from the ground up. I purchased a mountain, part of a mountain here in Salt Lake. And it was the place I always wanted to live ever since I came here 17 years ago. And I just couldn't imagine who could live in a community like that. And then a few years ago, we were able to buy a plot of land. We bought just under 4 acres and it's right downtown in Salt Lake. And we built our home the last few years. And I love it so much.
So, Tan, the whole point of this chat is really an exploration of your life through colour. So, pertinent colours that you kind of remember for particular moments in your life. So, if we can kind of dig into your first colour.
Yes.
Your very early childhood, you know, your first kind of memories of colours.
For me, it was red, and I'm going to give the shade of incarnadine because the first memory I have, and you may have experienced this also, you believe you have a memory and you don't know if that was in a memory or just something that you've seen since then. For example, there was a wedding video when I was 3. It was my favorite cousin's wedding. She's the eldest cousin, and it was her wedding. And I remember the color of her dress because Asian women wear red. And I don't know if it's because I remember it in the moment or if I have seen that wedding video 1,000 times in my youth that I just see that as my first real memory, which was I thought her dress was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. And I wanted to live in red. I thought that it was beautiful on her skin. I thought it was beautiful on my family's skin. And so my first memory when it comes to color really is red. And then because we're such a large Asian family, we had a wedding every 6 months and the color was always red. And it's something that is still really important to me today. I mean, I'm currently helping my niece shop for her wedding dress. And the debate is always, is this the right red? The shade of red is very important to us. Does it make you feel something when you look at that red? Or is it just a tomato red that no one could care less about? And so red is my earliest color memory. And is the thing that still dictates many of the decisions that are made in my life today when it comes to my family.
So you're saying it's quite traditional to wear a red dress. Is there a religious symbolism to the red?
Do you know, it would be cultural,
okay.
But I don't know the cultural reference other than it's said, and it's the thing I've heard 1,000 times over, is that our skin is the most beautiful when it's adorned in red. And that's in India, Pakistan, Nepal, Sri Lanka, any of those countries in South Asia. It's taught to us from a very young age, no matter what color you wear, you will feel your most beautiful in red, but we'll save that for the most important day, which is your wedding, because that's when you should feel your most beautiful.
I've never been to an Asian wedding.
Oh, you've not lived.
They're kind of huge events, aren't they?
You have not lived. I don't care what you've done in your life. If you've never been to an Asian wedding, you've not lived. You can have gone on yachts. You could have been to the Oscars. Nothing prepares you for an Asian wedding. It's just something else. Huge families, dancing, the loudest music, the best food you'll ever eat. I think the beauty of an Asian wedding is that it does affect every one of your senses. You enter the space, and yes, the bride is in a red dress, which is typically adorned in gold embroidery. So that's a beautiful centerpiece. But then everyone goes in color. It's so rare that you would see somebody in black. It's really discouraged to wear black. And so you see people in vibrant pinks, greens, oranges, yellows. They're the most vibrant colors you will ever see in one space together. And it's to show your joy of what's happening in that moment, which is a celebration of these two people getting married. And the way you show your joy is through the colors you've chosen to wear for that wedding, which I think is such a beautiful concept. And it's not the way we think of a wedding in the West. It's just, let's have a lovely time. It'll be chic. You'll be there for 3 or 4 hours, maybe 5 or 6 hours, and the day is done. It's not, let me represent how much joy I'm feeling at celebrating these two people by putting this thing on my body today to make it clear to the bride and groom just how much I feel for them. It's magical.
Are the men dressing up too? I mean, I'm sure that everybody looks very elegant, but are they wearing color, or is that kind of the realm of the female?
Yeah, typically, no. Typically, look, things are changing in the West. When I go to an Asian wedding now, sometimes the man will be in a tuxedo. That's not as traditional or cultural, and each their own. Do what feels right for you. It's typically now the woman will be in South Asian garb, so will all the females in attendance, and a lot of the men will wear a Western suit. I personally, when I go to an Asian wedding, will always wear a South Asian suit because I want to be in at least some color or embroidery to represent my culture. So often, even if it's just an ivory, I will wear something that's so heavily adorned in colorful embroidery. Actually, even at my first Emmys ever, was 6 years ago when we were nominated, instead of choosing to wear what everybody else was going to wear, I wanted to embrace my own culture. And so I wore a South Asian outfit, and it was ivory, and it was embellished in colorful embroidery. And I've never felt better. It made me feel really proud to be on one of the biggest stages in the world for television, the biggest stage in the world for television, and to be able to do something that I don't think had ever been done before.
I mean, the one thing is, sadly, I'm too short and too porky, but I always love Nehru jackets.
I love a Nehru jacket.
I just think they're the most elegant piece of clothing.
They're so chic.
So one day, in a pair of stilts.
How tall, just out of interest, how tall are you?
All right.
Look. Yes.
So I'm 5'9".
I'm 5'9".
Maybe it's proportionate then, because I'm 5'9", tall and wide. You're very elegant.
Here's the thing. I think anyone can wear anything as long as your proportions are right, which means that you've just got to have the things tailored. I have everything I wear tailored. And then therefore, it fits me perfectly.
Okay, well, that's my ambition. When I grow up and lose a bit of weight, I will buy a Nero jacket.
Can France said I could, yes.
Exactly. I feel validated now. We are now going to move on to your second colour, which is the colour of your youth. What is that colour?
So the colour that one would see at home, they would say probably brown. However, the Farron Ball colour is red earth. Red earth, even though it is very much brown to me, has a red undertone and it perfectly displays what it was like in my youth. Everything in the early 80s, I think, was a follow-on from the 70s, or maybe it wasn't meant to be, but my parents couldn't afford to redecorate. So there were a lot of browns in the 70s and a lot of reddish, orangey browns, not the cooler, earthy browns that we see today. And so the color of my childhood really was this 70s brown, which was red earth. And everything was that color. The carpet was that color, and it was a patterned carpet, but there was so much of that color. The sofa was that color. The fireplace was a weird brown. We were all brown. Everything in that darn house was brown.
It's really funny, isn't it? Because you're going to hate me later, because there is something I do at the end of this podcast with you or for you.
Okay.
And you might give me, you can give me a virtuous slap.
Great.
But it's really funny because I think brown is really, really chic. But I suppose when you're talking about,
I love brown.
When it's kind of overloaded within a space.
Yeah.
And it is, as you say, pattern carpet, Draylon sofas.
Yeah.
Maybe even the artwork feels a bit brown too. And the wallpaper, yeah, or paint. And it is kind of like, yeah, it's really nice, but judiciously used.
Yeah. And look, I love a brown. And my guest cottage, there's a lot of green, but there's also a heck of a lot of brown. I think there's a way of using brown that is gorgeous and sophisticated. Then there's the 70s brown in homes that weren't the fancy homes, where it's just, it's clear you just needed a renovation. Do you remember that TV show called Some Mothers Do Have 'Em?
Yep.
Yeah. That is what I imagine when I think of browns.
Yeah, well, I'm a 70s child. We've got a few years on you, Tan. But I quite liked it. I always thought it was quite chic.
Yeah.
I think it's quite a forgiving colour.
Yeah, I agree with that. My issue is, and my mum won't mind me saying this, is that nothing was intentionally done. And this is the case for a lot of immigrant families and maybe even many poor families. You need a lamp, so you get a lamp. You need carpet, so you get carpet. It's not I need a lamp, so I'm going to choose a lamp that makes sense for this space. I'm going to choose a carpet that I think is nice. It's just, it needs a carpet. Buy the carpet, and the cheap one just happens to be this brown one that's not nice. It was just that's available, it's on sale, let's get it.
So you're forgiving of brown, and you have used brown.
There are certain things. My bed now has this orange on it, and it's also a color that we had a lot in our house. I'm trying to reframe some of my color preferences or my color dreads from my childhood. The things that I either gravitated towards or really repelled against, they're the things I'm trying to reframe in my home.
So we're going to be moving on now, and this is your defining decade.
Yeah.
Also, love to know the story, you know, what made it your defining decade, but more importantly, the color.
The colour is Lulworth Blue. The reason why this is the colour of my defining decade is because I lived in a sea of blue. I lived a life that I didn't want to live. I was working corporate jobs. I was working in a call centre. I was working in an office. And I did that from the age of 17 to 22, 20. Yeah, 21, 22-ish. And it was so not the life for me. It was not the life I was meant to live. I wasn't meant to live a blue-collar life.
And was that in the UK, that bit?
That was in the UK, yeah.
Sort of yawn, hate this.
Yeah, I found it just, for me, insufferable. Look, if anyone lives that life, wonderful. If you enjoy it, great. But I'm a creative. And the thought of just spending my time in an office working on data, analyzing whatever data I'm seeing on this computer, was miserable to me. And so I was so desperate to get out of blue shirts with white collars. Don't get me wrong, I want to reimagine those soon and do something with it that's a lot chicer for today. But back in the day, 20-something years ago, I desperately wanted to see the back of that. And I just wanted to be able to wear the things I wanted to wear that express my personality, not fit in with the rest of the dudes at this office. And so that's why that is my defining decade, because I changed my life completely. I decided that I was going to take a risk. I quit my job without having another job and decided I was going to just be unemployed until I found something that challenged me creatively. And I was free to wear whatever I wanted that expressed who I was. And I was able to play with style and fashion like I'd never done in public before, and to not consider ever putting on a button-up blue shirt with a tie again. And that felt really freeing. And pretty much since then, unless it's a style choice, I haven't gone back to that. And I hope I never have to go back to that.
Now, I'm feeling slightly humiliated because if I open my wardrobe, which is just there,
it's full of blue shirts.
I've got quite a lot of blue shirts in there.
I've got a lot of blue shirts. However, they're not corporate blue shirts anymore. It's a cool denim. It's a cool stripe. It's got this detail. It's got that detail. I don't keep corporate blue shirts anymore because, my gosh, there are more options, especially in today's day and age.
I'm just going to describe Lulworth Blue again. So Farrah and Ball are from Dorset on the south coast of England, and Lulworth is a really lovely place on the coast called Lulworth Cove, and there's Lulworth Castle, and it's kind of the colour of the sea and sky, so it's kind of a really poignant colour. You know, Farrah and Ball, you know, yeah. You know, you've been looking through the colour charts, choosing colour, and you probably go, what does that mean? That's just bonkers.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Lulworth Cove, there's a really straightforward narrative to that one. It's a really fresh, optimistic blue, isn't it?
It is. And anyone who's seen my new closet will know I have either that blue, or maybe it was custom and it was made just slightly duskier. But part of my closet is that blue. One room of my closet is that blue.
Hang on a minute. One room of you. How many rooms are in your closet?
The closet is, the blue is one part of three that make up my entire closet. I have a cream section that is more of a vintage cream, and then a middle section, which is a clay, which is beautiful. It's almost terracotta-ish with slightly more pink. And then I have my blue Lulworth blue area.
Are these colours defining particular things? Is like the blue part of your closet, is that kind of knitwear? Is that kind of cashmere?
Well, they are all separated out, however, not by such specific category. So the blue section is my outerwear and my footwear and my bags. And then the clay section is my mirror, lighting and content section, which divides the two other clothing sections. And then the vintage cream is all of my shirting, trousers, denim, t-shirts, sweaters, all those things.
It's kind of genius, isn't it?
I think my closet is spectacular. By anyone's standards, it is empirically beautiful. Whether you want to have a closet that size or not, it's empirically beautiful.
I think that's brilliant. Just going back to the Lulworth Blue and your defining decades, did you find that one kind of easy? Or was it kind of like, oh God, this took me a while to figure it out?
No, it definitely took me a while to figure out. Because, quite honestly, every decade of your life should be somewhat defining. If you haven't learned or put into action something from that previous decade, what are you doing? Are you really evolving? And so it was hard to pinpoint one, but that was the one decade where I saw a massive change in my life. Not just, yes, I've developed as a person or moved on as a person. What really did change my entire existence, and it was that decade.
The final section of today's journey in colour is where you are now, your colour of where you are now, and kind of what that means to you and how you came to that decision.
So this was the easiest colour for me. It's breakfast room green. This colour is actually really similar to the colour we have throughout the house. My husband and I, we love a green because it feels calming, and spring, summer and autumn are beautiful here. We get mostly wall-to-wall sunshine. It rarely rains. And so we can leave our doors open. We live on a mountain and we see the mountains that are across from us outside of every window, every door. And so we want to be able to open these doors and for the walls to almost feel like a continuation of the landscape we see outside. And that really is shown in the foyer. When you see the open door episode of AD, you will see that come to life in our foyer in particular. There's a gorgeous painting, a mural that's done throughout our entire entryway, and the trees kind of tie in with what's going on outside the front door when you open that door. And so we wanted to feel like we've brought the outside in by having a lot of green, and we find it to just be the most calming color. And so many areas of the house contain green. The guest cottage, we got a custom color from Farron Ball. We love the tended stripe, and so they did a custom green for us that would relatively closely match the cabinetry that we're using for the kitchen in that space also, and that's also green. Our living room is also green, and they are also two stripes that were created by Farron Ball. It's a custom Farron Ball wallpaper. So yeah, you'll see a green throughout this entire home. And it's a color that will be important to us, I'm hoping, for the rest of my life, because we don't plan on changing this home anytime soon. We've chosen, purposely chosen, things that we think should be timeless and relatively classic. There's nothing trendy about this wallpaper. There's nothing trendy about many of the papers we've used in our home. We see them as all classic decoration that I'm hoping our kids will allow us to keep for decades to come.
Was the whole decision process, was that quite collaborative with you and Rob, or were you being a bossy old witch?
Anyone who knows me and our relationship will know the latter is true. I am the most type A person, and I know exactly what I want. And my husband is an angel sent from heaven and will allow me to have whatever I want in our home. But thankfully, he wanted the same. So we went away separately and Pinterested the heck out of our boards. And when we came together, there was so much overlap. And the main overlap was green, 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 green.
Okay.
And so that wasn't a tough decision between us. And the disagreements we had about the home were simple styling things that were like, do we really want that there? Should that go there instead? Or is that lamp too big for this space? Should we get rid of that? So it wasn't a fundamental issue. It wasn't what wallpaper we're going to have, what color it should be. We always agreed on that, thank gosh.
Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting you said this, because, you know, I know you've also mentioned you're quite calm at the moment. You're in a good place and everything. And actually, green is one of those colors that delivers that kind of feeling in bucket loads. And it's kind of, you know, when I've had people going, oh, I'm kind of stressed, you know, what color really distresses me? And it's like, really good, soft, or, you know, and strongish mid-greens are the place to make you feel relaxed, calm, breathe deeply.
That's why our cottage is that color. Yeah. We want people, when they come and visit, we wanted that added layer of color that really did feel relaxing. That color is so important to me.
Your home, from what I've seen, is very beautiful. I have, and I know I shouldn't because it's a very, very bad choice, having a bit of envy at the moment. I'm in my tiny bedroom, which is about... Americans are in feet, so I'm going to do this in feet. So it's about 12 foot by 12 foot.
Okay, okay.
Overall. It's kind of cozy.
Well, that's... Oh, do you know, the horrible thing is that I stupidly said that our bedroom is... We wanted it to feel small and intimate. Because it does feel small and intimate as far as American homes are concerned. We have to remember that American homes are typically much, much, much larger than British homes.
Oh, I mean, they're huge, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. My mom saw my guest cottage. She said, wait, that's the guest? I said, yeah. She said, it's bigger than my full house. I know. I don't live in England. You just get a lot more for your money here.
Yeah, lucky you. I mean, it's lovely. It's really, really lovely. And just because you're Mr. Fashion, it's a very loose term for everything you do.
I'll take that.
Would you wear that color? And would you wear any of the colors, but, you know, more specifically your color of where you are now, would you wear breakfast groom green as an outfit color? You know, be it a shirt, jacket, a whole suit?
100%. I have worn a gorgeous Stella McCartney suit that is almost identical to the breakfast room green color. And I would wear it again in a heartbeat. I've worn it a few times. Yeah, absolutely. Every color I've mentioned today, I would wear again. But I should have prefaced it by saying, anyone who knows me knows I live in color typically. Yes, I know I'm in ivory today, but typically I do live in color. You'll be hard pushed to find me, especially publicly, wearing black. And so I've always embraced color. Even if it's a color that I've said I didn't love as a kid, for example, brown, I love brown now, and I will find a way to incorporate it that I feel really chic in.
And I love the fact that you're Mr. Fashion. Because I would be like, I'm in a white t-shirt. You're being specific. I'm in an ivory t-shirt.
I know, when you said white, I thought, oh, that hurts my heart. That's just...
He knows nothing. He's so uncouth. White, how dare he?
No, I just wouldn't wear white against this green for Zoom.
That's hilarious. So thank you so much. And this is the bit where we gift you a colour.
Go.
Because of your youth memories, your memories of youth, are clearly filled with lots of fondness and this kind of sea of brown. And I'm kind of taking you back down that brown. And you have said that you have used brown before.
Correct.
So I am giving you Mr. Tan France. Tan Urs Brown, which is a really sophisticated,
yeah,
almost blackish brown. It's so beautiful. And part of me, because I want you to revisit with happy memories and kind of go, this is really effortlessly chic. But also because I believe everybody who decorates their home should have at least one brown room, because I think it is the smartest colour.
I agree.
And actually, one thing, I do think Americans are much better at using brown in their decorating.
I'm pulling up just so I see it in real life. To be fair, it doesn't look as brown. It looks a lot more charcoal-y than brown.
It's a really dark brown. I think it's our darkest brown. Actually, no, we've got an archive colour called Cola, which is really beautiful too.
Okay.
If you use this in a high sheen, there's a slightly, I must say, okay, eggplant as well. So aubergine/eggplanty note to it.
Great.
So it's kind of really beautiful.
I actually think that's lovely.
Okay, good.
I think that's lovely. I was actually hoping you were going to go for something even like browner. It's softer than that. I think it's softer than that. And I think it's easier to design around that color than it would be a chocolate.
And the reason I'm a huge advocate of brown in interiors, because a lot of people use darks. They'll use dark blue, they'll use dark green, they might even use off black.
Yeah.
And there's a more of a coolness about it. But if you use a dark brown, that's drama, but there's a warmth, yeah, too, which you don't get with other colors.
You may not know this. There's no reason why anyone would care to know this. It's boring to everyone but me. But I used to design women's wear clothing, and I used to design menswear at one point also. Brown is one of the hardest colors to sell in fashion, which I find wild, because I also think it's one of the most beautiful colors that one can put on your body. It feels so sophisticated, incredibly chic, and it's a way to elevate an outfit. And so it's such a shame that people don't embrace brown in interiors and in fashion. I think it's such a good color.
And it is, because I think it flatters any skin tone, doesn't it?
Agreed.
So
agreed.
For me, really, if I does. Put on a black roll neck or a navy blue roll neck, I will look really washed out. If I put on a dark brown roll neck, I feel less pallid, and
yeah,
he needs some iron tablets on that one. No, you don't. You just need to wear a brown roll neck.
Yeah, you just change the shirt. You're great.
Win-win. It's fine.
Yeah.
You have been a superstar. It's been so lovely having you. Thank you so much for joining me.
It was lovely to meet you.
I'm so sorry. My Black Labrador, Hilda, is a huge fan of you, so she just wanted to come and say bye, Tan.
Bye, Hilda.
Thank you. You can find Tan France at Tan France on Instagram, and you can go and have a lovely snoop around Tan and Rob's beautiful home in Salt Lake City on Architectural Digest. You can also follow us at Farron Ball. And if you've enjoyed this conversation, please, please do spread the word. My guest next week is writer and colour historian Cassia Sinclair. The Cremologist is a Farron Ball and Feast Collective production. The producer is Sarah Cudden. Until the next one, goodbye, big hugs, and lots of love.